Were you all like me as David was pouring the water into the bowl thinking the same thing? Yes, yes. Wasn't just me then. I could see your eyes on him as well. Can I have the words of Nehemiah 3, please, on the screen? Now, I must admit that knowing David for many years, I wasn't worried a couple of weeks ago when I realized I hadn't got the first idea what he wanted me to talk about while I was here in Belfast. But I did ring him. I can't remember whether I rang you from Argentina or from Uganda or from Wimbledon. I rang you from somewhere, and you said straight away, Nehemiah 3. And I thought, right, okay, yeah, Nehemiah 3, yeah. Well, now you know why I thought Nehemiah 3, yeah? What on earth do we do with that? So let me just go back a little bit. What's this all about? You remember that God, at the very beginning, created and called. He made everything. But God is a person, and he called people. God is interested in relationships. He doesn't just make things. So he called Adam, Eve, later on Abraham, and he called a whole group of people to be a community. Christianity isn't just about you, it's about community. It's about everybody. And that group of people eventually lived in what we call the Promised Land, and they asked to have a king, and the minute they had a king, things started to go a bit difficult. They started to go up and down. And in the end, as you probably know, they degenerated, they abandoned God, and God allowed 10 of the tribes to be taken into captivity by the Assyrians, and the tribe of Judah was taken into captivity by the Babylonians. We're talking about 500 and something before Christ. And they went to Babylonia and to Babylon, and the Babylonians destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed the temple. And you remember that the Jews were in exile for how many years? Anybody know? No? 70 years. Long time. Whole generation. And then they started to go back. And this Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king of Persia. And his job was to help them go back to Jerusalem and begin to rebuild the walls. And what we've got here is the story of how they all began to rebuild. Now, what does that tell you and me? It tells us that at the present moment, the church, the Christian church worldwide, needs redoing. If you go out on the street or you sit on a bus or you ask somebody anywhere about Christianity, you'll get a very confused answer. I've spent my life traveling on aeroplanes, and I've developed a way of talking to people because if I'm wearing this, people see this, it has a funny effect on them. And they can't go and sit in the toilet for 8 hours. So you have to develop a way of being able to converse with people who are sitting next to you on airplanes. So I've worked out a way of getting people to tell me what they think. And I've found something very interesting. That all those who've decided they're not believers don't know what they don't believe. And all those, or most of those who are believers, don't know what they believe. Because the church is in confusion. Now, I know you know that, but it's our job to sort that out. We are like the remnant, the people that go back, because the church over 2,000 years has gone up, down, in, out. It's been good, it's been bad, and at the present moment, it's in confusion. Our job, like the remnant, is to rebuild. And what I want to say very, very simply is that to do that, we need to get some things right. Now, what do you notice about this reading? That the people were working together. What did they have to have? These are the 3 points, David, okay? If you want to remember them, you can then later on remind people because this is the important thing. First of all, they had this. They had a common vision. They had one thing that they all shared that they were all doing. The church has to have a common vision. A common vision, David, right? You got that? A common vision. Thank you. Secondly, it needs dedicated leaders, people who are prepared to commit themselves and to say, this is what we're going to do. So if you're in leadership, good for you. You've got to be dedicated. You've got to stand firm and keep going. Keep going, because that's not always easy, keeping going. Where's Sylvia? Could you raise your hand, please? Can't see her. Oh, there she is. Hello. Do you remember the words of the hymn that they taught us all those years ago? She's saying, no, don't ask me. Go on, go on, go on. You remember Father Ted? Yes? Some of you, please. Okay. Well, that's what you have to do if you're a leader. Go on, go on, go on, go on. That's being dedicated. And the other thing you need is willing workers, people who are prepared to get on with it and do it. Okay, now that's clear. I know you've got that. I've got that clear. A common vision, dedicated leaders, willing workers. But there's a problem, and this is what I want to leave with you this morning. What's the problem? The problem is not the enemy of the Assyrians or the Babylonians. The problem is, can we go to the last verse, verse 5? What does it say? Next to them, the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles would not stoop to serve the Lord. There's the problem. Who wouldn't collaborate? Who wouldn't collaborate? The nobles. Do you get that? There were people who wouldn't collaborate. Isn't it interesting, the word used to describe those who wouldn't collaborate? The nobles. You know why they wouldn't collaborate? Because they thought they were important. They were all about their own opinion. They were all about, but this is what I think. Be very careful with individualism. Be very careful with individualism. There's nothing wrong with being an individual. But sometimes individualism is very immature. And immature people tend to think, I, me, mine. What matters is what I think and what I want. It's what breaks families up. It's what breaks friendships up. When people can't be, do you know two words that describe Jesus that we've always got to remember? Listen, because they're not popular words. Jesus was humble, and Jesus was, begins with M and it ends with K. Meek. They're not popular words nowadays, are they? Being humble, being meek, it's not popular. But Jesus was humble and meek. The problem is individualism. The problem is I, me, mine. What about what I think? I lead lots of meetings. Part of my job is presiding. And I can pick them out. I can see them 100 miles away. They're generally sitting there. When the meeting allows people to sit where they want, I was a headmaster for many years, so I know all about how you manage classrooms. If you let people sit where they want to sit, this is not about you today, okay? If they want to cause problems, they put themselves in the blind spot. There's a blind spot. I'm not talking about you guys, okay? I'm talking about my wife, obviously. That's why she's sitting there. Because you can stir things up. Individualism. They're not really interested in where you're going. They're interested in this. They're interested in somebody saying, have you noticed me? Have you looked at me? Most people are waiting for everybody to say, have you noticed me? You know, on the aeroplane, when they say, wear this life jacket, I don't know, well, I'm not going to go there, but they tell you how to put the life jacket on, and they say, and you can blow this whistle to attract attention. Maybe you're that sort of person. That is immaturity, and that's what breaks community up. We need to be together, and we need mature people who are prepared to work together, even if it means just keeping your head down and getting on. Now, how do I do that? How do I, listen to this expression, how do I get to the end of myself? How do I get to the end of myself so that I'm no longer all the time thinking about me, what I want, what people think of me, how I am? How do I get to the end of myself? There's only one place to get to the end of yourself, and it's what I answered you, David, when you said, what's the most important thing? You go to him. Now, what's the symbol of Christianity? What did David do on little Sophie's forehead just now with his thumb and the water? What did he do? He made the sign of the... There, behind the table there, you see the cross. What is the cross? Two pieces of wood. You've got the vertical and the horizontal. That is the key. What's the key? Leave the horizontal, concentrate on the vertical. What's the vertical? You and God. When you're right with God, you too will be all right. I'm all right with the horizontal once I'm all right with God. Because when I'm at peace with God, when I've been forgiven, when I'm at peace with God, I can be at peace with you and I can be at peace with myself. But I will never be all right with me or you if I'm not all right with God. I went to school as a little boy many, many, many years ago. And I remember that my mother or my grandmother made me a shirt. Now that tells you about my generation, doesn't it? And it was the first shirt I had, I guess I was 4 and a half, maybe 5, that had buttons all the way up. Now some of you more older gentlemen will remember that the shirts we used to wear, we pulled over our heads. And then we had shirts that went all the way up. But I had a problem. It didn't matter how many times I did the shirt up. I always either had too many buttons or too many buttonholes. And I remember sitting there in my bedroom, buttoning my shirt up, and I either had too many buttonholes or too many. And my dear mother, who died how many years ago today? 8 years ago, it's my mum's anniversary, she died. 8 years ago today, my dear mother, she was 96, coming up 97. She taught me many wise things, my dear mum. And one of them was this. Gregory, the only person who ever called me Gregory. Gregory, put the first button in the first buttonhole. That morning in 19 whenever, I learned a lesson that has solved many problems in my life. Put the first button in the first buttonhole, and the rest will find the right place. What's the first button and the first buttonhole? You and God. What do you need? Forgiveness, reconciliation, and a new life. It's not enough to be forgiven. You will forgive little Sophie many, many, many times. But the main thing that will transform her is your love for her and her love for you. It's relationship. You in her and her in you. God in you and you in God. And that's what transforms you. You don't just need forgiveness. You need the right relationship with God. And that will put all the other buttons in the right place. How would you feel if I said to you, I've been married to Sylvia this September the 12th. It will be 48 years. Can't believe it. Why are we still going? Answer is, we want to. How have I remained faithful to Sylvia? Simply because of love, and I don't want to betray her. Temptations have been there. Opportunities have been there. And what would you think if I were to say to you this morning, I've been 90% faithful to Sylvia. What would you tell me? It's not good enough. How's your relationship with God? There's only one thing that matters, 100% faithfulness. How's your relationship with God? And that will mark everything else. But only one thing will keep you right with God, the fact that you want to be right with God. Because that's got to be there. Why does Sylvia and I keep going? Because we want to keep going. We want to. If we didn't want to, it wouldn't work. Your relationship with God will only work if you want to keep going and if you love and are loved. And that will work. And then the rest of the buttons will find the buttonhole. Now, I've been told how long. Normally in Latin America, I don't look at my watch. I might look at the calendar, but I don't look at my watch. Today, I've been told clear things. So I'm going to finish now, but I'm going to say a prayer for you. But can I urge you to make sure you've got the first button in the first buttonhole? You and God. And you want that more than anything else. And it matters to you. It's the only thing that will transform you. The rules won't transform you. You know the rules are right. But what did Paul say? I know what I should do, but I don't do it. I know what I shouldn't do, and it's what I do. We all know that. There's only one thing that's going to keep you 100%. You want to, and you love enough to make it happen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to be together here this morning, and may what we've considered and our relationship with you transform everything, Lord. Thank you that you want to be first in our life. You want us to love you with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our strength, with all our soul. Help us to love you and help us to want to be right with you. And help us, therefore, to be right with others and to be right with ourselves. I pray your blessing on this community, on its leaders, on everybody, that with a common vision, with shared responsibilities, and with willing workers, your name will be known and glorified. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.